to be honest with you, we never expected to have or think that there was COVID even in the restaurant. Probably the run-up to the week that we had, we had basically the air who came in and he was saying that he had run down, and we thought it was fairly normal because since we had come back after lockdown, everybody's been working really hard, and we thought, you know, this is normal. She showed no COVID symptoms whatsoever. And there was no real reason for us to think there was anything for alarm bells. So
you were doing temperature checks routinely, weren't you? And obviously checking for, you know, new coughs and that type of stuff, the red flags that we've been warned about.
Well, every day anybody comes in, they bring logo, all our staff, we use an infrared thermal check, the gun, we record all their temperatures coming in. Everybody was probably in around the 36, 36.5. And to be honest with you, these are the protocols you lay down, and this is the public advice you take for people coming in, just for reassurance that the at all present are okay. You know, when Claire saw she had no temperature, come to back again, she had no temperature. And for all intents and purposes, it was just a normal day in Bray Logan because there's so much going on anyway within any business. And basically, we had maybe 3 or 4 days later, we had 2 other members of staff who said that they had sort of, you know, like a head cold. And the advice on head colds, my kids are back at school again, they have head colds. Everywhere you look, people have head colds. And again, you're told, look out for the symptoms and be able to detect whether there's a difference between a head cold and, say, COVID symptoms, which we were doing also. And it was literally 4 days after that, it was the parents of one of the staff actually tested positive for COVID, and that was just a warning bell went off. And to be honest with you, when she told us that, we made the statement, and we closed, so Friday morning.
That was the 10th, wasn't it?
That's the 10th. You enact your COVID plan, and your COVID plan is, right, we just need to get everybody checked out here just to make sure everything's fine. And in our hearts, I thought, you know, this is going to be a 3-day period. Back open on Monday again. Every negative, it'll be a good story to put out. They say, look, we did what we should have did here on our protocol, and we just get back to business again. But the events that transpired just was the absolute opposite, and it was a complete shock for us.
Right. So what happens in terms of engaging with public health? Like, how does that system work? How do they help you, if you know what I mean? Because do you do it? Do you lead it as the employer, or do the employees have to contact their GP separately? Like, are you advised, or do you have to sort of decide what to do yourself in that way, Tommy?
Well, the public advice is once you feel that. The best way of saying it is we basically had a member of staff who's in contact with somebody who had COVID.
Right.
And the first thing we did was, it's not up to me to give advice, and I'm no medical expert at the end of the day, but my advice to my staff is you have to seek medical advice. Mm. You have to contact your GP and let your GP make the decision for you.
Yeah, and your COVID plan is actually, say, from a business perspective, I'm going to have to pull the shutters down until such time as we get these tests back. I get you now. I just wanted to understand that. It's no harm for other businesses, Tommy, either, to sort of, to understand that as well, in case that's the situation. Right, so you make that decision on the 10th, and I think quite rightly, and we've seen it with lots of sports organisations, someone connected to a club might be positive, might not be positive. The shutdown, often 99.2% of tests come back negative in these situations, but that just wasn't to be the case this time around. So what happened then once people started going and get tests, Tommy?
So thankfully, you know, people were tested inside 2 hours, 90% of the staff. You know, I even took my own family down, my daughter, my son, and my wife who works there. And we went down to get checked as well, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, and the kids are in the back saying, can we go to McDonald's now? And it's like, no, we're not. We're going straight home. It was a strange day. We just, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, you know, was this actually really happening?
Yeah,
you know,
surreal.
You know, even do the COVID test in itself. And you see the reality when you up there. Now the girls up there and the guys are fantastic. They talk you through it. It's really quick. Wee bit uncomfortable, but they're doing a great job. I went home. We just had a normal night. We just sort of locked the door, let nobody in, and we said, look, we'll see what happens tomorrow. And on the next day, We get a phone call, and the first one to get tested positive was my wife, which was just incredible to hear. We also heard my daughter was tested positive, and then we had like a group chat with the staff. And then results started coming in, somebody else is positive. I tested negative, and so did my son. And from that, you basically go into, what am I going to do here? This is not what I expected to be happening. And I suppose, you know, people say we have to live with COVID, and I think you're only living with COVID when it sits on your doorstep, you know what I mean? And it's a reality. You know, somebody in your family has it, or somebody in your staff has it. And I think then you're truly living with COVID. You know, what do you have to do?
It's just rhetoric until such time as I actually do have to live with COVID here now. You're having to live with it. Yeah, indeed. And also, too, you know, like, thankfully, the majority of people don't get very sick. But we don't know what underlying health conditions we may have. So presumably then it's that anxiety that, well, listen, I hope it is how we're told that people, you know, have some symptoms, maybe no symptoms, but no one gets very seriously ill. But we do know people end up in intensive care as well. So there's that emotion in there as well, presumably.
There is. Like currently my wife still hasn't come around with it. She's had 3 days, she's floored, 2 days, she's sort of feeling great. She cleans the house for 6 hours, then she's floored again for 2 days, being her. And it's you still don't, because you hear that you've read people sort of journeys through COVID and stuff, and they start off with a cold and then it gets worse, and then they get better and then get worse, and before they know it, they're intensive care. You do have that at the back of your mind. Now, at the same time, you have to think positive and you have to think in reality. It's just an unknown. It's just a complete unknown. But the rest of the staff, like there were some of the staff who tested positive who had no symptoms whatsoever. And I think that's why I even put the post up. And it's just more or less the case being it is everybody's fault that this is arrived at most people's door within a business, especially when you're dealing with public. And staff at the end of the day have to have a day off. They're going to go out somewhere. They could come into contact with it unknowingly. They come back into work again. And no matter what protocols you have in place, you can only do your best.
And that member of staff may have done absolutely nothing wrong. That's the way COVID is. It doesn't sort of, you know, we are doing what we're doing to try and limit the spread as much as is possible, but there are going to be cases even when doing so. And I think that's a reality check that we have to come up with. And that's part of this destigmatization of this. Sure. Now, Tommy, I think you posted 9 on your social media. Do you know how many cases are connected at this point?
Well, there's still 9 within Breed Local. No, and I can't even tell this story. Like, my daughter was at last Saturday, was at a gender reveal for a friend of hers, the friend's older sister. So there was like a mum and dad, the daughter, the sort of boyfriend, and the younger sister, and she was a friend. And she stayed the night there. Now, she had no symptoms, but through the public health authority, and you do the track and trace, there's already now 3 cases confirmed from her going to that party. So that's like an indication of how scary the infection is to get out of control. So even
And what age is your daughter? Because obviously we have also been told that young children rarely pass it on to adults. Is she a child or a bit older? Or
17. Well, she's a young adult.
Right. Okay. Well, that's if she was 3 or 4, it might be slightly different. I could have a whole new conversation as well, Tommy, about a gender reveal party. That intrigues me, to be honest, but that's not what we're on to talk about, because that's a new thing for me. And what about you cohabiting now with, because there's 4 years, I think, in the house, 2 years have it, 2 years don't. Are you sort of just saying, right, look, if I was going to get it, I've been exposed to you enough, or do you have to change how you live in that environment, Tommy? Or
I suppose, to be honest with you, it's too late now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Do you know what I mean? We're going to be self-isolating now for 14 days. My son and myself will go for another test in 7 days because we tested negative, and that'll prove whether or not it's sort of in us. But even when we did the timeline of the first member staff who sort of felt unwell, just taking it into consideration any symptoms that people were having, and then going back and looking at the people who had mild symptoms and tested positive, You know, it's amazing. Even when you look at the road, the change in Rhoda and the person who sort of tested positive working with other people, it seems to be like a 4-day cycle. If you even meet somebody who has this, then 4 days you're either going to, within 4 days you're going to show symptoms, but inside 4 days you're able to spread it to somebody else.
Yeah, and also it's worth, and this will become apparent, I presume, with future Facebook posts and what have you, that one member of staff, officially according to guidelines confirmed last night, is actually COVID-free 10 days after she first started getting that head cold, or he first started getting that head cold. So this is not for the rest of winter or for a month or whatever. That first person, 10 days after they first displayed symptoms, and presumably then their 3-day symptoms, three up until day 10, they are now free of COVID and they can walk around with their antibodies. Obviously, they will still do all the precautions, don't get me wrong, but this is not, this is something that's finite. It is, that's the right word, isn't it? This is for a relatively short period of time. Now, in terms of reopening, because we've had this question before, Tommy, and in your conversations, do like, you'll get another test in 7 days, but people don't routinely get tests after, it used to be 14 days, but it's going down to 10 now. You don't get retested again. It's just presumed that 10 days on, if you're 3-day symptom free after the first onset of symptoms, then you're COVID free. That is, we're allowed to presume that, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. That's the advice we're following. Now, because I tested negative and I could be carrying COVID now, that's why I have to get retested again in 7 days. But I isolate for 14 days. For anybody who has COVID or tested positive for COVID, they only have to stay sort of isolated for 10 days. So it's just a 4-day insurance extra thing for people who've been in contact with people who've tested positive, just to make sure. And to be honest with you know, when you see how this thing spreads, I have no problem, absolutely no problem doing this. And I think that anybody that is going to be sort of touched, by, especially in a business scenario, like the bottom line is we sell food. That's what we do. That's our business. But right now, you know, the landscape has changed, and what people are selling is trust. And at the end of the day, you can have the best food in the world, but if you don't have trust of people coming in, you really don't have anything, you know. So, and that's probably where we come from and the statement we made and stuff like that. You know, as much as what we do, and we're a very popular place, and, you know, we have fantastic customer bases, and it reflects. And the many, many comments and things people have said about us, and we love hearing them, and we really appreciate them. I want to thank everybody for that.
Yeah, but what you did too, it frustrates me when people start speculating about, is it here, is it there, does that person have it, does this person not have it? I think what you've done, what you and your family and your business has done here, is it's pulled the curtain back. It said, look, there is actually nothing to hide here. COVID is here. We had an outbreak, and they're very rare in fairness in these types of environments, but we had an outbreak. We're shutting for a period of time. When we open up, you know, there's such a frankness to it. It removes speculation. It removes finger pointing. It is what it is. This is what it is, you know? Does that make sense?
Well, it is because, you know, we tell the truth. There's nothing to hide. And for us, you know, they reopen again, and somebody says, oh, I hear there was 15 rather than, or you said there was a few cases, turned out to be 9. That's not a great story. They come out. At the end of the day, we have our protocols in place. We're doing our best practice we can for the customers coming into the restaurant, but this thing's still getting into us. It took 8 days. You know, the other sort of pregnant thing is, if we didn't have the parent testing positive, because she was a more mature lady, and watch me, words want to stay here if she got through me, she showed the more sort of common symptoms of COVID. She had a cough, she had a really high temperature, and for her, she felt she had to go. And I think, you know, because I'm working with young people, and because I'm watching the signs, and I'm not seeing the signs that basically are a checkbox for me to be worrying, I don't think I would have closed, you know, and that's the sort of message I wanted to put out to people was, you know, you have these best practices in the world, but this thing is going to come for some businesses. They're going to find themselves in the exact same situation that I found myself in, and it's more a case being, you know, just roll with the punches. And I know from our customers, like, and you can see it yourself, you know, people respect you for it, and people will be there to come out the other side of it.
Well, that's what's important, Tommy, because of that trust that's there, that when the decision is made to reopen, the trust has been built to say, right, I can open now. I've been open with you. I've been frank with you. You know the whole crack. We've got the advice from public health. We've got this and we've gotten the other, and we can open and you can come back in and enjoy your experience. And I think without that level of openness and frankness and, look, this is the situation, it would have made reopening and sort of securing the public support in that regard more difficult. And the reason I'm highlighting that is just a lesson maybe for other businesses too, God forbid, if they have to go down the same route. If you open it up and you say, this is where it's at, there's no speculation, there's no, and there's pure trust there then.
Yeah. And it makes people aware that, you know, this is the new normal. This is where business is at as well. You know, this could happen us again. We don't know. And if we had to do it again, we'll have to do it again. But, you know, hopefully then from sort of council and government sort of levels, there's going to be supports and mechanisms in place for businesses that have sort of positive case of COVID have to get through this process. They know there's going to be support at the other end of it. They incentivize businesses to do the right thing because...
And is that there? Sorry, Tommy, are you calling for that? Do you sense...
I'm actually just waiting on calls that probably in the next... sort of iron stuff to just clarify some issues that I have.
Yeah, because that's very important too, because, you know, not everyone is going to be the same as you, and if people feel that they could lose 6 or 7 grand or whatever it might be for 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the business or the scale of what they do, you know, I think businesses need to know that they are not going to be penalised for doing the right thing.
Yeah, like Greg, there's businesses now in Letterkenny who were in lockdown. You know, there's businesses that have come out of that, and some of them have thrived. Some of them have come out and found they have no businesses left. And they're holding on with grim death to keep their businesses going, and they'll do everything to keep their businesses going. And they could find themselves in this situation as well. But, you know, it would be great to have a bit of clarity from sort of council or maybe some for yourself to maybe pick up on.
Yeah, for sure, because I presume, like, a business like yours... You would buy stock in advance. I presume stock is your raw materials, so to speak, be it meat or what have you. I don't know how far in advance you plan for that, but presumably, like, even that in itself, will that stay okay for a week or 10 days or however long it might be? I mean, those are the realities, presumably, of a business like yours.
Well, Greg, I've just been off the phone to Letterkenny Skip Hire, and there'll be a skip arriving very shortly to my back door, and we'll probably have to dump maybe 3,000 to 4,000 pounds of food into it. And to be honest with you, you know, I'm hoping, and sort of further conversations going to have, there's going to be a recoup mechanism that I can look into for that. But, you know, this is what I'm saying. The business community is doing its best it can. They know they're being for its customers, and they are really up against it, and they are trying, but at the same time, not everybody's in a good situation, maybe to be calling what I'm calling for. I just hope I can get clarity on it, but, you know, it's very hard to judge a business as well. I don't want to sort of put myself on an altar and say I did the best thing ever. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do what I did and was able to do it when I did it. But, you know, at the same time, I'm not looking... sort of single out anybody or put a label to any business.
I think it's a realistic and it's a real life situation. It's no more to Tommy than we're contacted by parents like a mum and dad who've used up their holiday leave, and young Johnny's got a cough, and the school says, look, you need to go and get him tested, and they have to go to their employers and say, look, I know we've taken our annual leave off, but we need 2 days off because that are the guidelines and the regulations. Are the government going to pay them? Will the businesses pay them? Are they going to be down effectively four days' wages, which to your average family is half your mortgage or something close to it? In other words, it's bills. So it's not just business, it's people too, that we don't want to be penalised for doing the responsible and correct thing. And we, you know, I think we're going to put those calls in, Tommy. And I think, you know, we have been in on behalf of individuals, but from a business perspective, it's real. Like, it has to be discussed.
Oh, it is indeed. And it just shows that everybody's in it together. You know, if they are members of public, or they are members of the business community, you know, and it's going to take everybody together to get some sort of handle on a normal way of living with this going forward, because, you know, nobody wants this stop-start economy. Do you know what I mean? Nobody wants to look forward and say, you know, we're back into lockdown, or when he mentioned those words. You know, I think the better we get at handling how we deal with these things, you know, the less and less that sort of threat of lockdown coming back for businesses starts to dissipate and go away. And I think, to be honest with you, for businesses, that's where we need to get to at the end of the day, is where we are able to sort of, you know, reveal that we have COVID in our business and we have to follow proper protocols. And, you know, we close down, we decontaminate, we reopen again. We still have the support of our customers behind it. And, you know, it just makes for, it just speeds everything up and gets us to the place that we're looking to get to, you know, as a sort of economy in there, Jimmy.
Finally, how's everyone's health now? I mean, you talked about your wife and she has good days and bad days, and hopefully now that she's over the worst of it. But it is not just a cough for some and a snotty nose. It's not pleasant, and we don't know either, and hopefully it won't be serious, but we don't know either what the long-term impacts can be. So there's still a lot of uncertainty out there.
Yeah. Well, thank God now. I hope to say that everybody's on the mend.
Brilliant.
Greg, if I say this, I'm going to get killed. I'm actually in lockdown. I'm 19 years married today, and I know she's upstairs listening to me.
Well, go on, now you've got the airwaves. What does she mean to you? Isn't that what you wanted to do?
What does she mean to me? I tell you, it keeps me in line, Greg.
And I'll tell you, you know what you can do, Tommy, as well, that 6 hours of housework that she managed to do when she was feeling all right, you could dig her out there a little bit too yourself, you know.
Well, I'm going to treat her to a spark and Lemsip later on, maybe.
Oh, very nice. Come here, let us know when you finalised your date for reopening so we can let the public know. And I appreciate you speaking to us. It's just real life. It's reality. And, you know, people talk about how you talk about this. Well, there it is. That's just the reality of where we're at. And I appreciate it greatly. And happy anniversary to you and your better half as well.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, take care of yourself. That's Tommy O'Brien, owner of Burrito Loco.